does not last. It's not surpassed.
There used to be a newspaper.
The Buff Podcast. Not outclassed. Once en masse.
Get it unleashed, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Buff Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Buff Podcast, sponsored by Cars Pasties. My name's Mark Isles, and I'm chief football writer of the Bolton News. This is the show that takes the big issues of Bolton Wanderers, warms them up in the microwave, forgets all about them, and then has to warm them up again half an hour later. Time for some breaking news. News which is too fresh for this podcast. Dapoff a Lion shocks Tesco till assistant by trying to pay for his party hat with a John Brayford he found in his pocket. After being dumped as education secretary, Gavin Williams sends a message of congratulations to Liam Gordon for his 2 goals at Ipswich. Jack Dearden says he'll undergo surgery to have the word "the" removed from his Twitter handle. And finally, Wigan chief executive Mal Branigan denies accusations that his club are buying the league, which were made by nobody, ever. It's September, Mal, and you're second. Get over yourself. That was breaking news. On with the podcast. Well, last week, David Wheater stepped into the co-host chair, and I've had loads of people asking whether we can do a regular segment with him, and I think we will. We'll get it sorted. Just got to get timings right and that sort of thing. And besides which, he's been too busy talking to the Under the Kosh podcast this week about his dangly bits, hasn't he? Back from the mountain retreat this week, a man who rarely discusses his wedding tackle, on this podcast at least, it's Henry Hewitt. Henry, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I've got my a different podcast for that. So it is, funnily enough, called The Buff as well.
Exactly. Exactly. A very, very different meaning. There is actually, I keep on getting these alerts for different podcasts. And there are actually a couple called The Buff, weirdly enough, around the world. And I daren't listen to a few of them, to be honest.
Well, you told me just before the podcast that we're actually quite big in the Philippines. So maybe that's it. Maybe they would... You've just got loads of people looking for the actual The Buff. And they've found us instead. And like, I don't want to hear about Bolton Wanderers. I want to hear about some guy's dangly bits.
That's it. Yeah, I thought this doesn't sound very much like naturism at all, to be honest. But yeah, but tell me more about Barry Knight. right, you had a good week. You were down in the big smoke, weren't you?
I was, yeah, and we came back on Friday. Funnily enough, when we came back, I was joined on the train by the Wimbledon players who were coming up to Markham. All right. And I was like, if I'd known any of them by the face, I would have brought up the 3-3. But no, there was a little part of me that was thinking on Friday going, it's not that far to Ipswich from here, so if I can get the train back up to Manchester on the Sunday, or anyway, logistics just seemed to be a bit of a pain. And obviously 5 o'clock on Saturday evening, I was like, probably should have done that.
Well, look, everywhere is far from Ipswich. That place is ridiculous. 6.5 hours on the way down there, 6 hours on the way back. What a troll. But it was worth it. The Ipswich curse is lifted. 20 years Bolton have been waiting for a win at Portman Road. They got it. And how?
Yeah, I must admit, I was getting the notifications because, obviously there was some other match going on in the region. So I couldn't get much commentary, really, on the Bolton game. But it was obviously going 1-0 down. And I must admit from there, because the history of Bolton is that we give any team that needs a bit of a boost, needs a win, Bolton come to town and give them that win. So when we went 1-0 down, I did worry. But no, this is a different Bolton. It's a new era. We come back from behind and 5-2, it was incredible.
Yeah, I really struggled to see the pattern of the game. Bolton scored some great goals in the first half and played some lovely football in patches. But it just seemed to be nobody was in control at all of the game. And if Dapo hadn't have scored that one just before half time, maybe a totally different game would have unfolded in that second half, but it just seemed to knock the stuffing out of Ipswich at exactly the right time. They came out a completely different side second half, and really, I mean, Bolton declared at five. They could have pushed on. They could have scored more. I would have loved to have seen Bolton score six, because I don't think I have seen Bolton score six in my time in this job. I know they have done in the past, but I haven't seen them from the press box score six. It's certainly away from home. I remember the Leeds game. I remember the Ellen Road 5-1 when even Zach Knight scored. That's how bad that was.
There was that bright orange kit or red. What was it? Laser red kit that we had.
Laser red. Yeah, I remember them trying to pass that off. It's orange. It's orange. Yeah. It's nothing more than orange. But it was a great performance. And I think, you know, given everything that had happened in the week leading up to it, and we'll get to that in a bit, I think it was a perfect response. It was a lovely show of, I don't want to be too twee, but togetherness. There is no doubting this team has got something else about it. Beyond the football, they seem to get on, don't they?
Yeah, and they've got this amazing knack of doing synchronised celebrations. I first noticed it against Lincoln when Sarsen Dapo jumped at the same time. And if you watch, especially the sort of by the side of the pitch video that the club put out. Each goal, there must be at least two of them who jump at the same time or put their arms up in the same time. They do synchronised celebrations. I love it. They're so in sync.
Maybe that's what they were doing. You know, at the start of the season when we were talking about set pieces, maybe it was the celebration training that they did on Friday afternoons that's now coming to fruition. Maybe the set pieces improved once they'd got the celebrations nailed down when the choreographer had finally buggered off.
Well, I mean, it must be distracting when you're running up to take a corner and none of you know how you're going to celebrate the goal. So you just think, well, we'll just put the corner in out for a throw-in, you know.
Yeah, Sheehan, don't take the corner. Don't take the corner. Now, do I do the double pike twist with the back slap, or is it your turn, Sars? Yeah, it's a good idea. Right, do you fancy a freebie, Henry?
Of course I do.
Right, well, listen very carefully. Not you, because it'd be pretty dodgy if you got this freebie. But if you listen very carefully to this week's podcast, you could win a pair of tickets to, wait for it, Bolton Wanderers versus Liverpool. Under 21s. All the details about Bolton Wanderers versus Liverpool, under 21s, will be revealed on Friday via the Bolton News website, but we've teamed up with Papa John's of pizza fame to bring you a little bit of a buff competition. So keep your ears peeled. We'll be asking you a question about this week's podcast, and you might just get a pair of tickets to go and watch that game. That sounds all right to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd watch Bolton against anyone at the moment. So whether it be Liverpool or Liverpool under 21s, then yeah, count me in. But I can't, obviously, because I work on the show.
No, that would be very dodgy. Tell you what's not dodgy, though. The standard of our correspondence. Here's some of it.
Is that Philip Moraes? Emails, actually.
Yeah, we got some good emails this week. We got some emails, and Henry touched upon it earlier about the Philippines, us being big in the Philippines. Apparently, this podcast does very well in Thailand, in the Philippines. I have no idea why. I really don't. But quite a few people got in touch with us from Southeast Asia this week. And I'd just say hello to all those guys. Thank you very much for listening. But we did get one from Mitch that pertains to last week's episode, so I need to read it out, really. So Mitch says, I listen to the podcast every week, but since tuning in last week, I've been bombarded with advertisements for David Wheater personalised messages. I've included a picture below, and I sent that to you, Henry.
Yeah.
You know what he's on about. So he's getting these advertisements coming up. I don't know where. I assume like on websites and such. Has the buff surreptitiously included subliminal advertising in the podcast that makes Wheater a few quid on the side? He asks. And knowing that he did the buff wearing only his pants last week, what kind of video message should I expect for my 25 quid?
25 quid?
25 wow. quid. Wow, he's really pushed the bar out there. But actually, Mitch does say a PS. He says, Wheater's selling himself cheap For £50, you can get a video message from former BWFC assistant manager Steve Walford. And who wouldn't want one of those?
Of course, we have brought this up on the podcast, haven't we, before, about celebrities that will send you them videos, and we found a few former Wanderers, didn't we?
We did, but I always, the currency of video messages for me is that for £15, you can get a video message from the kid who played Stuart Little.
Let's see, so the kid who plays Stuart Little, David Wheat.
Jonathan Lipnicki, I think his name is.
And
he was a child star. But for £15, I mean, I could get two Lipnickis for a Wheater.
I'd stick with friend of the show, David Wheater. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I'm not paying £25. I'd probably get you to text him and get him to send the video. But if that's your thing, I'm sure it'd be funny.
Yeah, and there's no way on earth I'd be paying 50 notes for a message from Steve Walford. I had to sit through his press conferences. I don't want to have to listen to him on my birthday as well.
Oh, that's very niche, isn't it?
It burst my mind when you look through some of these websites at some of the footballers, and you think, you know, I understand it does, you know, it takes no work whatsoever to put yourself on those lists. I could understand that there'd be Bolton fans, Borough fans that would want. Because Wheats is a good game for a laugh. I'm sure he'd put his effort into it. It would be well worth it. So I endorse David Wheater on these things. But some of them, looking at them and having interviewed some of these guys before, there is no way I'd want a phone call from them, let alone a video message that I know has set people back 50, 60 quid. I mean, Michael Owen, £135.
I mean, Michael Owen is just brimming with personality, isn't he?
Well,
so,
precisely. Yeah. I mean, If for £135, I'd want Michael Owen to take me around on that helicopter. You know that little video thing that he did that one time with the helicopter tour? Which was possibly the most dull piece of video of all time. I'd want to be in that helicopter for £135.
Anyway. And that's just to get a good view of Cheshire. That's not to not to speak to Michael Owen.
Right. We've got a line of Doofty. I repeat, we've got a line of Doofty. So this one came up on Twitter this week because in the middle of the post-match interview on Saturday, Ian Everett told me that we'd all been saying Kachunga's name wrong.
Oh.
So I said, I mean, I put all that out on Twitter. Suddenly there's like this big bloody argument going on over how to pronounce other players' names, namely the club captain. Now, how do you pronounce the club captain's name?
Now, I've got to say, most of the time I'll say Sasevic, but I know that Sky Sports said during one of, I think it was the Salford game last year, it's Sasevic. So I should start saying Sasevic, but I am a Sasevic man.
Okie dokie, right. I have called Anthony Sasevic from the minute I knew him, and I have not been corrected. So, with my line of duty hat on, I did all the legwork, made the right calls. So for starters, let's just confirm, it's Elias Kachunga, not Elias, not Walk with Elias, that joke that I made right at the very beginning. Nope, that, you scrubbed that one out. It's Elias Kachunga, right? And more sensationally, it's Anthony Sasevic.
Right.
There's no
confirmed.
Yes. It's confirmed now. The Buff podcast has doubly confirmed it. The investigation is over. We've got that from the horse's mouth. It's Sasevic. Leave aside all the Serbian connotations or the Croatian accents that should be on that name. I'm going with the guy himself, and he's said Sasevic. So I've been saying it for so long now. It's ridiculous. Apologies to Sas, who can now call me Mark Les or Mark Eels or Mark Isles or anything else you want to for the rest of the season. You've got my permission.
Well, maybe we're starting. It's TalkSport that say if you say Premiership instead of Premier League, you get two strikes and you're out. Maybe we should have a free strike Sasevic rule or Sasevic rule. Where, I mean, I don't know how it would work with, if you do it, because then I'll be left on here on my own.
I should have asked, to be honest with you. It's one of those, normally when a player signs, you ask the press officer or ask the player sometimes, you know, how do you pronounce it? And then you I'm normally the one that says, hey, this is how you say it. And for some reason or another, we've just gone with it. And I remember happening with Chungyong Lee. So when Chungyong Lee turned up, normally it would be Lee Chungyong. The name would normally start with the surname in Korean. But when he came to England, he wanted it to be anglicised. So he wanted the Chung Lee at the front and the Chungyong at the front and the Lee at the back. So we said, okay, well, we'll put that out. And within about 2 years, everybody had turned it back round again, including the fans, because it was easier to sing. And Chungi's just like shrugging. He's like, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever. let him call me what I want. So maybe it's just happened to Sars so often that he just doesn't care anymore.
Let's start a campaign, Sarsavik. The Sarsavik campaign.
Scratch the itch. That's what we can call it.
Yes, that's good. You should write headlines with that punnery.
Right, talking about headlines. Hey, what a segue that was. Let's have some headlines. Right, come on, Henry, bring us the best of the news.
Well, unfortunately, we're starting on a negative one, actually, yep. Considering it's been a very positive podcast so far. But, of course, we've had in the last 2 weeks the stuff with Elias Kachunga, yep. And Dapo with racism online. Ian Everett has called for social media companies to do more, which we all echo that sentiment. It's disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. With Catcher, it was horrible. I mean, I've actually now seen what was put out there, and it really is absolutely disgusting. The messages he got on Instagram, and obviously, you know, the podcast, every single Bolton Wanderers fan has issued their kind of support to him, and indeed to Dapo when that happened on Saturday night, but. Something Dapo, we were talking to Dapo after the Ipswich game about Catcher, and at this point in time, we didn't know what was happening in the background and the fact that Ipswich fan had put out what he did, and there was a couple of other bits on Saturday night as well. But Dapo was saying that it's becoming too easy for these people. It's a societal thing. It's not necessarily just a social media thing. It's just people are getting braver, and that's in quotes, by the way, that... For whatever reason, there is a segment of society who feel that this is acceptable again. And it's, you know, it's not easily fixed, but it definitely needs to be addressed. And, you know, this extremism that seems to be seeping in a lot of different areas is worrying. It's very worrying. And you can see, you know, the effect it's having on some players and some people. And I just think football needs to get hold of it and really make an example out of it as well. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, well, I mean, football is the at the forefront of a lot of things, and it's helped change a lot of, you know, it brings people together. Yeah. So, yeah, football could be something that really kickstarts this movement to kick this out. But I think, you know, Dapo's right, and... Yeah, you're right to put braver in quotations, because you could argue that they're not brave doing it online. I don't think they do it to his face. But, it's just disappointing. And again, you don't know, you know, I certainly, and I think the majority of people would never even think of saying those things. You know, I don't know what goes through these people's heads, whether they're doing it for attention, whether they're doing it just to try and get at that person in a... You know, we see it in the crowds where you get at opposition players, and that's just to put them off the game. But you don't. There's certain lines that you don't cross. Mm. You might have a go at someone's playing quality, but you wouldn't have a go, you know, in a racist way. And it's so disappointing, and it's just disappointing that this sort of things. It seems like it's every week. The sad thing is that. People might just start to think, oh, it's happening all the time, just ignore it. You know, it's not, it might get to the point where it's not as awful anymore because we just hear it all the time. So it needs to be kicked out now before it gets to that point. And it's really sad. But I mean, a positive from it has been the reaction of not only Bolton fans, but but Ipswich fans, people with, you know, on social media who enjoy football have all condemned it. And that just shows the majority of people are against this sort of thing. It is the minority, but, you know, the minority, it shouldn't be the minority. It should be no one.
No, exactly. And fair play to Ipswich. They were the first ones to come out and to condemn what was clearly one of their own fans there. And having seen the video on Saturday night coming back from Ipswich, I'd also like to say that it was clear that lad is being egged on by another couple, whatever. And what goes through people's heads, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. So, yeah, I think it needs... I mean, how long before, literally, and it's been talked about a lot across Europe, but how long before a football team walks off the pitch when this sort of thing happens?
I'm surprised it's not happened already, to be honest. But, you know, if it's happening more on social media now, obviously the players aren't going to see it until after the game. It might take a team, rather than walking off the pitch, that be just, you know, down tools and say, right, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing it until it gets sorted out, which I think will happen. And I think that then the minority are ruining it for not only the players, but the rest of us. But it's a stand that quite possibly players are going to have to take. Because, what, you know, if you look at the governing bodies and they're only fining clubs or players a pittance and then say, oh, you can have one match where there's no fans, it's not a deterrent for anyone, really. So it's going to have to be harsher sanctions, or else the players will just stop playing.
And the social media companies, I mean, I know it's a little bit lazy to say they're doing nothing, because they have tightened up. I can see that myself. There are avenues that you can report, and, you know, this kind of thing can be dealt with properly. But the anonymity thing, and we've been through this before on the podcast, there are problems around anonymity online. And there's certain sections of culture, there's certain parts of the world where being, you know, having your name out there would mean you just couldn't use social media. So it would restrict who could use social media, I think, if you were to have your name front and centre. But I think in the build-up, in creating accounts, surely there has to be a little bit more, because all you need for a Twitter account, rather, is an email address, and you can knock up a Gmail address in 20 seconds flat. And, you know, these people just continually spawn these accounts to spew this bile all the time, seemingly to get a kick out of it. I can't see any other reason for doing it, and it just bamboozles me. It really does.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for the social media company to an extent, because it must be very difficult. Like, they've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it must be very difficult to police it. But at the same time, they're the ones in charge, so they have to do it. They've got to, whether they bring a committee in or whatever, these companies have to start doing it. And it's been disappointing. But, you know, Kachunga and Dapo know that they've got the support of not only the teammates and the club, but also the fans. So, you know, I think it's... all about showing love, and hopefully it will drown these idiots, their views out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to something else. Let's move in a different direction.
Well, Will Amerson is played for the reserves, so he's back. We've not seen him yet in a first team Bolton shirt. We've had a good start to the season, but we've conceded 10 goals. Is there a way that Amerson comes in?
I think at the minute, it looks like he's concentrating, or Ian Everett rather, is concentrating on Johnston and Santos as being his first choice pair. I think it looks like Baptiste has stepped back. He played for the reserves as well, alongside Will Amerson in midweek. So at the moment, I think it's probably their shirt to lose. But it's good, obviously, they've got that extra option now, centre-halves, that for the cup games, they can swap both of them out and play a different centre-half partnership, which will be quite advantageous. And then see how it goes. I mean, I always felt that Will was going to be fourth in the pack when he came in. And it's up to him now to sort of push and to try and, you know, edge past Baptiste and then maybe make a case for himself in the first team. But, I mean, do you see him doing that?
I'm happy with Johnson and Santos, so no. You know, I think he's come back into it. Sadly for him, he's missed two cup games, so they would have been opportunities for him to play. So, yeah. He will probably play the Papa John's Trophy, and then perhaps see who we get in the FA Cup first round and maybe play that. It's going to be tough for him to break in, but I think you're right. I think looking at Will Amerson, he didn't strike me when he came in as someone who was going to be a first choice. Not when you've got Santos playing like he did. Mm-hmm. Baptiste last year had a great season, and Johnston's coming in from Feyenoord. I think they're always going to be above him. So it will. Yeah, we'll see how he does in the cup games. But he's good to. I mean, he just had something else, doesn't he? So it's good to that we've got another man back in the squad.
Let's have another headline.
Well, it's looking to this weekend actually, and. You know, the club expected a big crowd considering the prices of the tickets, and it looks like they're going to get it. I think as we speak now on Thursday, about 16,000 have been sold. The club are hoping for over 20. Do you see it? Are you excited? Is even though you're in the press box, is there that extra, when it's a big crowd, is there just that extra bit to the match?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. There's always an extra edge to any game when it's a big match day on. First game of the season, just over 16,000 against MK Dons. Great atmosphere, and obviously fans have just come back into the building at that point as well. It looks like they've now sold more than that, so there's going to be a bigger number here. Whether they get to the 20,000 mark, I don't know. It may well come down to what the weather's like. I know it sounds ridiculous, but if it's going to be a nice sunny day, then there's going to be a lot more walk-up traffic than there normally would be. But it'd be lovely to see that number in there again, because it is a special place when everybody's happy and, you know, the football's going well. And so pre-match, at least until a ball is kicked, everything should be absolutely lovely on Saturday. I hope it carries on after that as well. And I do fancy Bolton as well. They're playing some lovely football. It's great to watch. Let's be honest. Leave the results aside. You've actually got a product now that is worth turning up to watch, you know, and I know nobody likes watching losing football, but I just feel that even if Bolton were to have a bit of a mixed bag this season and find the feet at this level, I think the general consensus would be that we've enjoyed it, because I think the football itself is a good product, and you can see they are kind of trying to do things in a slightly different way. Is that fair, or am I just, because I don't have to pay, I'm talking nonsense.
No, I fully agree with you. And I think when I've seen us and we've gone behind against MK Dons and Oxford, and then we couldn't find the winner against Burton, it's still enjoyable. I can't find myself being annoyed or upset, because it's a good game, and you know it's going to be an attacking game. And I think when you think back, say, a few years ago in the Championship when we got relegated, and it seemed every game, especially before Christmas, we were losing 1-0 or 2-0 at home. It became a chore to go, because the football wasn't great, despite David Wheater trying to defend it last week. But it wasn't. But now, under this brand effort, and you know, I go to the game and I'm excited, because even if we can't score, you've got Dapo who's entertaining, you've got good passing play, like we're passing it about. Decent players, and okay, we may be conceding a few goals at the moment, but actually, who honestly can say they would rather not win see a 3-2 win over a 1-0 win? Probably go with a 3-2. So no, it's brilliant, it's exciting, and hopefully we get a good crowd. Hopefully, because I mentioned it, I think, on the podcast in after the Oxford game, where I think we'd then had about. It's been a month, hasn't it, since we last played on Saturday at 3 o'clock at home. I was worried that if we had a few difficult results, then the momentum would go. Luckily, we've had some really good results, and I think the momentum's going to be there, and we could get some fans back who haven't been for a long time, and we could be seeing bigger crowds continuing.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about on Saturday, that £10 for an adult, £5 for concessions under 18s and over 65s. you know, that's good money in anybody's book anyway. That's a chance for families to get down there, you know, kids to maybe have their first view of a game and it not costing too much and see what it's like, see if they enjoy it. But do you remember when the first goal at Bolton was like the be all and end all? I just remember casting my mind back to, you were talking about the end of that championship season and just thinking, you know, once Bolton conceded the first goal, that was it. That was the end of it. But on Saturday at Portman Road, Bolton conceded the first goal and I barely gave it a mention. It was like, yeah, this is the first goal. Only a matter of time then before Bolton equalised. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, they did. That's the kind of way it is nowadays, isn't it? Nothing's ever finished.
No, it's not. And yeah, that season, you go 1-0 behind and it is as if the other team just thought, well, these lot aren't scoring against us, so we've won the game. And then they'd just pick us off in the second half of a second. Mm. And it was just predictable. And, you know, there were issues, obviously, off the pitch. And I don't want to blame, you know, Parkinson for that.
Oh, no, definitely not.
You know, but it was rubbish. It was really rubbish to watch. And that is where you were lucky, because you were being paid to be there, whereas the rest of us had to pay to be there. But yeah, it's now it's brilliant. And whether you're paying 25 quid or whether you're paying a tenner like on Saturday, you know you're in for a good game.
As I always say to people, it's all very well saying I didn't pay 25 quid to get in, but I have to write 5,000 or 6,000 words after that final whistle. I would gladly give somebody 25 quid so that they could do that for me and I could have a night off. That would be more than happy. I would be absolutely, if anybody fancies writing it all after Saturday's game, I'd gladly give you your tenner back. It's not an issue to me. I'm fine.
I tell you what, if it's another 5-2, then I think I'll be up for that. But if we get beat, then no, I'd want to go home. Finally then, this was actually come out, we're speaking on Thursday, so it's earlier today. It's your Chris Markham interview. And I've got to say, as he just seems a really interesting, likeable guy who actually I think we're quite lucky to have.
Yeah, I've done a couple of sit-down interviews with Chris now, and he does have such a kind of structured way of working. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's got that kind of pedigree and the understanding. Lovely guy, really, you know, affable type of guy. But the best thing is, and it, you know, the best interviews are the ones where you just press play and, you know, you ask the question and they go through the process and tell you all the information, and it's detailed and it's interesting and it feels like it's leading somewhere. So it was a good chat, really enjoyed it. I hope people enjoyed reading it, because it's good that people are coming to the wicket at Wanderers again. You know, people in these high, it can't always be Ian Everett. You know, people in the high positions should be able to sit down and discuss what they're doing without thinking there's going to be an absolute, you know, storm that pours down on them every time they do. There will always be questions, of course, but I think at the minute the club is in such a good place that actually just coming out and saying, listen, this is what we've been doing, is people are happy to listen to that and happy to see that the club's being run in the right way. Is that fair?
Yeah, as a fan, you know, this is under the previous regime, this is all we wanted, was that, because it was a two-man operation or a one-man operation. Mm. Now you suddenly got the people, like, obviously you got the Sharon Britton and, you know, and her consortium, but then you've got people like Chris and you've got these people who are around the club that are wanting to talk, and you can inform you of what's going on. And it just feels like we've been run like a normal football club, and that's all we asked as fans. So yeah, hearing from Chris, and I read his interview he did, I can't remember who it was with someone else, who he kind of explained his plans from when he came in last year.
Simon Austin's piece, wasn't it? I can't remember what the website was called, but yeah, it was a good piece.
Yeah, so he's a likeable guy, and it just seems that we've got a plan. And like I said, that's all we asked for, just a plan. So it looks like it's coming into fruition.
I think, and don't consider this an official request yet, Wanderers, but I think Neil Hart's another one that I think would be interesting to see. We spoke to him when he first came in and he kind of outlined what his plans were. But I think now he's had his chance to get his feet under the table, he's the next one that I think we can sit down and talk and see what his plans are for the kind of the business operation of the club. Because I think people are really interested in it. I don't know, sometimes with certainly with the chief execs and the next level above the football club, they think that maybe people aren't as interested or that what they're doing is in some way dry. I completely disagree. I think people enjoy reading about the kind of the inner machinations of their football club and seeing that, as I said before, that it is being run in the right way. It's good to talk, as Bob Hoskins once said. Right, shall we have a bit of All Right or Barry Knight?
Is it All Right or is it Barry Knight?
Yeah, is it? So it's back to All Right or Barry Knight this week, is it?
It's back to All Right or Barry Knight. We've given Joshua Smith the day off. And actually, I don't know whether you noticed his next game, by the way, Joshua Smith. It was Stoke City versus Barnsley at the weekend. And there was a massive touchline brawl because both dugouts thought that he wasn't clamping down on time wasting. So it's not just us. It's not just us.
I'm sure on that Barnsley podcast they'll be doing an equivalent of was it Joshua Smith or taking the piff?
That's the one. So right, okay. I don't know to explain the rules anymore. Crikey, O'Reilly, we've been doing this for too long. So I'll start. I'll start with my all right, and that is Ipswich Town. Touched on it earlier about how good I thought they were with the Dapo Afolayan abuse that came up after the game, the online abuse. Straight out with a statement that condemned it. Very professional. But I have been down there so many times to Ipswich. It's an absolute pig of a trip. But the good thing, the one thing you can always rely on when you get down there is that the people there are absolutely wonderful. And I think it's a really good club. Steeped in history, the walls are plastered with newspaper reports and kind of team photos and everything. You cannot walk through there and not be impressed with, you know, all the players that have played for the club and such. Like, it's a really interesting journey to the press room just to sit and read all those sort of things. Lovely people there. They always help you out. Nothing's too much of a problem for them. So I want to give a thumbs up to Ipswich, and I genuinely do hope that that Paul Cook turns that round and that they don't end up in trouble this season.
Do you think? Because I know that like Bolton do have elements of like what you've just said, but do you think Bolton should do more for the history we've got, just plastering it around the place? I know it's difficult because Ipswich have got the same stadium as what they've always played in, whereas we moved. But do you think Bolton should do a bit more of that?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It surprised me, and I think it was a couple of weeks ago now that you were talking about Tim Ream being sprayed on the walls in the. I know that a lot of that goes on, and I don't actually see it behind the scenes, the murals and such like too much, because I don't have too much reason to be venturing down that way. But there's a lot of photos around. Not a lot. I think over time, certain managers and certain hierarchies have kind of pushed that away, pushed the historical element away, and I do think that's a shame. But, you know, decor-wise, I can understand it. I suppose they don't want to get it too cluttered. But I think there's spaces in a football stadium where that should happen. I think there should be nods to the past. And I think that Bolton are probably getting round to thinking about that now. There's a lot of stuff that they can do better in that respect. Former players, all that kind of thing. I think that's something that they can get on top of and improve. Hospitality, I'm sure, is something that Neil Hart will be looking very strongly at and trying to boost that up. You look at a lot of the big clubs around, City, United, Liverpool, Everton, the old boys network that they've got there kind of carry the hospitality, and people can't wait to come in and listen to the old tales. And I think that's something that Bolton really could get on top of. I think it's very understandable because of the way that the club has been run in the past, but I think eventually there's definitely scope for improvement on that front.
Well, I think maybe in the last 10 years, this sort of shadow of Big Sam and his team may have been a bit too much for some managers or some, you know, some people. But I guess now it's been long enough, and obviously, like, you know, Bolton had a massive history before Big Sam. So, yeah, it's it would be nice to just see a bit more of a nod to what we've done. Because I think, you know, I was listening randomly, actually. I was on a walk a few weeks ago when we played Oxford, and after we beat them, and I went on the BBC app and I listened back to the Oxford coverage from their local radio station. And before the game, it was a Bolton loving. All they were saying was, what an amazing stadium. This club is steeped in history. Yeah, they've got the problems, but what a great to see a club like Bolton back on the rise. And I'm like, is this Bolton FM or is this Radio Oxford? But
Was it sponsored by the sock shop? Or John McGinley's furniture?
No, but it was, yeah, it was. So other teams recognise that, and other teams get that sort of. I think it's important to, you don't want to inspire the other team too much, but you want to have that aura around the place of, this is who we are. So yeah, you better raise your game here, lads. But well, like you said, hopefully that can be something that the club looks into. My all right this week is goal celebrations and props in goal celebrations, because we saw Dapo with the birthday hat on Saturday. And I just think that, you know, I think there is a time and a place for goal celebrations. If he had done that and the score was 5-1 to Ipswich, then maybe it wouldn't have gone down as well, which I trust that he wouldn't have done. But I think players should enjoy themselves. I think sometimes there's too much, football gets too serious when it is just a game. So I like to see players enjoying themselves and really enjoying a celebration. So I'm all for it. Well done, Dapo. It made me smile seeing it. And of course, it made me smile seeing the Ipswich fans behind the goal getting a bit wound up to it.
It would have made me smile more if our photographers managed to get any sort of decent picture of it. But
Yeah, I don't think anyone did. I think it was that fast that no one had time to do it.
Yeah, I think judging by the reaction to the, because he was in the home end, very much the home end, I don't think he could stick around too long, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I think Luke got a picture afterwards with him with his hat on the head, and he told us the story about queuing up in Tesco's and getting his club card points. But yeah, enjoy it. And especially a player like Dapo. I mean, you could never see somebody who's maybe not as popular, I don't know, Clayton Donaldson or something, going, you know, whipping out a party hat and dancing. I don't think that would have gone down as well. But I think with Dapo, everything he touches turns to gold at the minute. So long may that continue. I'm going to go for some Barry Knight. I said about the trip to Ipswich, and this is a short but sweet one. The only problem with Ipswich is one road. It's the A14. I hate that road with a passion. It is absolutely abysmal to drive down. And if they erased it off the A to Z straight away tomorrow, I would not be at all worried. You know, I would fly down there every day of the week. I never want to drive down that thing again. It's horrible. The end.
Yeah, I've been to Norwich and that sort of area of the world. There's not enough motorways. We need to build a few more motorways.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Or teleports. Let's really channel our thoughts into teleportation. That would be brilliant.
I mean, Norwich, that part of the world's very nice, so I wouldn't mind teleporting there. Other places in this country, I'm happy not to invest in teleportation to those places.
I can't be bothered teleporting to Charlton, let's put it that way. I won't be rushing to get down there. Give me a Barry Knight then, Henry.
My Barry Knight, funnily enough, after what you said and you're all right about Ipswich Town, mine's actually about just a section of Ipswich Town fans, because Ipswich are a team that we actually have quite a few sort of YouTube channels and podcasts and stuff. So I've been watching the reaction to the game, which is the reason that some of us watch Arsenal fan TV. You only watch it when they lose. So it was entertaining. But it's just quite a few Ipswich fans. There's just a bit of entitlement there. But I just thought, like, they felt that they, you know, for a club that they are steeped in history, there's no doubt about that. However, in the last 30 years, there's probably, I think, about five or six teams in League One that have had more Premier League experience than them. So I just felt that, okay, we've seen with Bolton that we feel that we're entitled. We feel we should be a lot higher than what we are. But I just felt there was a bit of, I think somebody said, oh, we're losing 5-2 to Bolton. I was like, hey up, lads. You know, we're not Burton Albion. We're not Cheltenham. Yeah, there was just a little bit of entitlement there, which I was wondering where that's come from, especially the last 30 years. But then I saw they got beat to West Ham under 21s, and I thought, I kind of feel sorry for these lads now.
As a young man, and part of this YouTube generation, I meant to put this in actually, and this is something that I've picked up on. But there's a lot of anti YouTuber sentiment out there now. There's a couple of Neve Pegg's one, and Thogden's another one of them. Now I don't listen to it particularly. I've not got enough time in the day to kind of absorb it. But you do watch a lot more than I do. Does it bother you that they go and do other clubs? Or, you know, Neve did the Ronaldo thing, which apparently went down like an absolute storm. Does that bother you in any way?
For me personally, it doesn't. But, you know, I kind of work kind of in that world, so I kind of understand it. And as much as it was great at the start, seeing Thogden and Neve, and got to give it to Neve, she still does come to a lot of the matches. She's been to a few this season. So I don't think when we're playing Ipswich away that you can argue about her, you know, going to a match. You could maybe argue about how she got a ticket and a lot of Man United fans who would genuinely give the right arm to go haven't got a ticket. But I think the fact that she's actually gone... you know, it's Ronaldo. It's, well, whatever our opinions are of Man United, I was, you know, totally legally watching the match on Saturday while I had Bolton updates on the phone, because it was interesting. And if, you know, if but it, to me, it doesn't matter. Thogden and Neve can go and watch whoever they want. They're still Bolton fans. And I think, sometimes it's easy to have a pop at. It's easier to have a pop at Thogden than it is Neve, of what I've seen anyway on social media. But I just think sometimes it can just get a really bitter and angry, and I don't understand why. And I don't know whether it's us Bolton fans are thinking, well, you're one of us. Why, you know? But you've got to have an understanding as well that for these football creators, Bolton are a big team, but we're not as big as Man United. So they're going to get more views going to watch Man United or going to watch European teams, I think, like Thogden's doing at the moment.
Yeah,
so
it's a business. It's a business, surely. Yeah. I'm speaking from a completely different angle to you or to the Bolton fans. So please do send in an email and correct me if I'm wrong. But look, these guys are making money. I don't know how. it still fries my brain to believe that people want to watch somebody watching a game. It also fries my brain that they can film the pitch and not get in trouble. That also fries my brain.
Yeah.
That I have to pay, God knows, well, my company has to pay thousands of pounds to be able to, you know, blog from a game and not put anything out, and yet they can film from the stands. But anyway... yeah, it's all foreign to me, but I just see it. If they're making money and enjoying themselves and people are enjoying what they do, you know, they're always going to have a team when all is said and done. You've always got, you know, your boyhood team that you fall back on. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sit there in Bolton for the rest of your life. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I might well write something on it, to be honest, because I'd be interested to get their takes on it as well.
At the end of the day, they're both young people that are doing something they love doing. You know, they could be working in a job that they absolutely hate and it depresses them, which there are a lot of people out there, unfortunately, do that. But they've found a niche. They've found a personality and a... in a very crowded market, they're standing out. So I think as Bolton fans, they should be praised for it, and we should be proud of these people who are promoting the club. It's like the Chucky Oscanic guy on TikTok. You know, he's talking about Bolton Wanderers and he's promoting Bolton Wanderers to a fan base that would possibly have not been there or not been interested. So, yeah, I think we should praise them. And I just think that, yeah, I think so sometimes people get a bit too precious over stuff.
Ah, don't start with TikTok. I've only just got my head around YouTube, Henry. Good grief. No, that's no. Right, I tell you what, I need to calm down. Let's play some Danny Shittu. Right, it's time for a game of Danny Shittu to start winding down this podcast. Last week, Henry went away to his mountain retreat with the Dalai Lama, mastering the art of Danny Shittu so he could come back and try and topple the world champion, i.e. me. Just a quick reminder of the rules. We take it in turns to say a player's name. I will start, I will serve. Henry then has to say a player's name that begins with the letter, the last letter of the my player's surname. So let's say, for example, Kevin Nolan ends with an N. You could say Nat Lofthouse. If the letter is the same at the start and the end of the player's name, Henry then gets a chance to change the letter to one of his choosing. Or I do. That's the way it works. Henry, have you limbered up? You don't want to pull anything.
No, I'm all limbered. I'm looking forward to it. I'm seeing how my trip away has helped me. I've got a good zen. Although it wouldn't surprise me if I lost because I'm terrible at this game. But and anyone who tweets in, it is difficult. Try it, just you and your mate. Try it, and it's difficult. So lay off. But
anybody who tweets in, come to me. You come onto this podcast and come and beat me. I don't mind. I'll beat anybody listening to this that thinks they can beat me at Danny Shittu. Bring it on. Henry fluked to win the other week when we changed the rules, and there was a bit of a discrepancy. But we had a steward's inquiry and the result was considered null and void.
No.
By the Danny Shittu World Authority. So we're back to square one. Right, okay, I'm going to serve with a Barry Cowdrell.
Oh, okay, so that's L. Liam Trotter.
That is an R, and I'm going to go for Ray Deakin.
And Nat Lofthouse.
And that's an E. I'm going to go for Elias Kachunga.
A. A, right. There's an A out there. Anthony Barnes. There we go.
Oh, that's a good one. That's an S. I'm going to go for Stuart Ripley.
By Yuri Jarpaya.
That's good. That's an F. I'm going to go for Fernando Hierro.
Oliver Oscar. Oh, we've had an Oscar. What was he called? Him? Oscar. Oscar. Oh, he never played,
three,
did he? Oscar.
Two. One. He's gone.
Oscar. Some. Yeah, can't think.
Do you want the first letter of his second name?
Go on.
T.
Ferrical.
Oscar Threlkeld. You've been Threlkeld. Well.
Right. Well, I'll be... David Weeds will be back on next week because I'll have to go back to this retreat.
That £1,000 you spent for that Nepal retreat was well out of order.
It was a retreat with Simon Marland, who were just telling me every single person ever played for Bolton.
Reading out his stats book, just page by page. Like Mr. Miyagi, like a Bolton Mr. Miyagi. Sand the floor, Henry, sand the floor. Right, okay. Next up for Wanderers, it's Rotherham, of course, on Saturday. It's family fun day. Get yourselves down there. £10 a ticket for adults, £5 for concessions. Henry, what's the mood? How do you think this game's going to go?
New Bolton Wanderers, we're going to win. Old Bolton Wanderers, we get beat 2-0. You know, I think the fans will be up for it. And to be honest, though, I think what's been quite refreshing is because normally us Bolton fans like to get excited, and we like to think that, like last year, we lost our first three, and the HMS was still in the you know, getting ready to go. But I've not seen much this year so far. Even after a 5-2 against Ipswich, are people saying like, genuinely, we're going to get promoted, we're going to do this? So I think people are very realistic. And I think if it's good football, like we saw against Burton, we might not win, but people walk away and frustrated, but excited and happy. So, I think Bolton, Rotherham are a good team, don't get me wrong, but I think this will continue. We can go top of the league, so maybe that'll excite a few more people, but I think it'll be 2-1.
2-1. I'm with you. By all accounts, Rotherham played quite well in midweek. They played poorly last weekend, but Paul Warren was quite happy with the way they responded. Certainly keep an eye out for Michael Smith, the big lad up front, 6'4". I think he played very well against Bolton last time I saw him. Real unit, real. It's going to be a difficult day, because apparently Rotherham, the only other team in League One that have taken more shots at goal. They put more crosses in than anybody else. They're a very dynamic team. So it really boils down to how Wanderers defend on the day. And I think if they defend like they did against Ipswich, then it could be a bit of an issue. So that's got to tighten up. Whether or not Declan John can get back in and maybe have that slight... Well, I'm going to say it. I still think Declan John is, on his day, a better player than Liam Gordon. I know Liam Gordon's improving, but I still think that Declan John needs to be there for Bolton to be at their full pelt. It's going to have to be a much better defensive performance than it was in that first half against Ipswich, I think, to get a result. That said, I think from an attacking point of view, Wanderers are purring. Sheehan is pulling strings. Dapo is just absolutely on fire. I would love to see the club captain score a goal.
What's his name?
I can't say it. It's like Candyman. If I say it too often in a podcast, he's going to turn up.
But hey, it'll get us more listens. You might as well.
It probably would. Anthony Sarcevic, of course, is the man I'm talking about. He looks desperate to score a goal. I really do hope he can chip in with one. I'm going to go 3-2. How about that?
Ooh. Value for money. I mean, a 0-0 would be value for money on Saturday.
But, for a tenner, I think pretty much just getting in the building is value for money now. But just to go and see the Tim Ream mural. I'm with you. I'm quite optimistic that there'll be an incentive. Do you remember the last time that they did this, the reduced tickets? I think it was, there was one in the Parkinson promotion year against Chesterfield.
Yeah, I brought one of my mates. Said, "Come watch, we're about to get promoted. Come watch, 0-0.
Oh, it was Dyer. It was Kieran Dyer or Bruce Dyer, even.
Lloyd.
It was Lloyd Dyer. That's how bad it was. I just hope there's a good show, and I hope there's a couple of young fans that turn up on the day and then beg their mum and dad for them to come back, because that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, if any kids are listening and you're going for the first time on Saturday, help the club out. Beg your parents for a season ticket and to buy the club shop.
And a hot dog, don't forget.
And I just want to say one more thing on Rotherham United. I've just remembered of a former Rotherham player who also played for Bolton. So please, can no one tweet me Adam Lafondra? Because I am aware, I've just realised I missed him out and people would have been shouting at it. So yes, I have just... And this is the problem. 5 minutes after the game, I think, oh, Adam Lafondra, that would have been a good one to say.
Look, I mean, we can put a 5-minute delay on every single guess if you want to, but it's going to take all week to play a game of Danny Shitter. On that note, I'm going to wrap this episode of The Buff up. It has been, once again, a whimsical journey through Bolton Wanderers news. I don't think there's much else left to say other than the fact that I've been Mark Isles.
And I've been Henry Hewitt.
Well, that show went without a hitch. Anthony Sarcevic.